This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Kicking off hour number two in the Fan Run Studios, three and out. Houston Crest, Davey Hudson, Adam Hickman rolling along with you on this Optimism Tuesday edition of the program. We go straight to the phone lines, 865-546-8200. If you want to join us, we have Zach on the line. Zach, good morning, brother.
What do you say, Houston, Davey, and Adam?
Morning, man.
How you guys doing today?
Well, I was doing good until Hickman put the four-game expectation on the baseballs. Now I'm all getting a little nervous all of a sudden. I don't know where it came from.
I feel like that's realistic.
No, it's not unrealistic. It's just I feel guilty putting pressure on this team to do anything at this point. I mean, they've exceeded expectations all year long, so maybe I should raise my expectations considering they continue to exceed them. But I feel a little guilty doing that because they've been just so fun. They've given us so much joy all year long. I don't want to set the bar too high, and then I feel disappointed at the end of this thing. It's a magical run.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Houston, but at the same time, like, I've heard Tony Vitello on your guys' on the drive so much. Do you think Tony's going to be happy just getting there?
Absolutely not.
Like, I don't think he's telling his team, like, hey, we're going against Virginia. Let's just do our best and see what we can do. It's more like, hey, let's go get the Ducks.
I mean, Zach, I know you've said it a few times on this show and others, how he reminds you of Bruce. Like, in certain ways, he reminds me of Bruce. In certain ways, he reminds me of Coach Summit, where it's like his – like, no one has higher expectations than he does. Like, nobody. Nobody demands more of himself or their selves than he does. And that's so refreshing considering, you know, Butch Jones was telling us, well, you know, that 9-win season, those were some of the best in the last 20 years. It's like, dude, like, no one's happy with that. Like, what are you doing? And Tony's, you know, he said it this week. I think he said he got more congratulations, you know, like text calls and conversations after they lost the series to Vanderbilt and Arkansas than he did the entire – it's like – and he was mad about that. He's like, we lost those series, and people were like, hey, man, great job. Way to hang in there. And it's like, I wanted to win those series. It's just it's just a complete 180 from what we're used to around here. You know, we always say it on the show, like coaches and the university as a whole, it's like lower the bar, jump over the bar. Lower the bar, jump over the bar. Tony's like, nuh-uh. We got that thing sky high, and we're still trying to reach it. It's amazing.
He's special. We don't come across this. I mean, I can't remember the last special coach besides Bruce. And, you know, Barnes is a good coach, but is he special? And I think we've got a special guy with Tony B. I'm trying to figure out who I have a man crush on more, Bruce or Tony. You know, when Bruce first got here, it was Bruce for sure. But Tony's like right up there now, man. He's just incredible. Just a great feeling around campus too. I know a lot of people over there in Knoxville are still really excited about what's going on. Did you guys realize that we had a bigger score on Sunday than the last four football games against LSU dating back to 2007.
I did see that. I saw that tweet by Will Warren. It made me happy for the weekend and then just miserable thinking back over Tennessee football the last, you know, decade or so.
The baseball team outscores your football, our football team, in the last four games. That's how bad it's been, you know? And so this Tony Schoen, you know, back to Toppenmeyer's article, Tony's shown that patience is really for losers. I mean, the second season, he was in the, the tournament? Tony was, right?
Wait, say that again, Zach.
So was Tony in the – Tony, he started winning in year two in baseball.
Right, yeah, went to the regional, the Chapel Hill regional, and lost did we only play one game against North Carolina, or did we get that to an elimination game?
I think we got to an elimination game.
Okay. But, yeah. I mean, he went first-year record was not that good. Second year, I think he won 40-something games, Zach. So, yeah, he did it basically in a year. And then they, you know, like he said, they were on pace last year. He thought it was an Omaha-type team. They started 15-2. I think they were 15-0, lost their last two before the season got canceled. And then here we are this year. I think we're the first team in the country to 50 wins, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I got a question for you. You guys are much bigger baseball fans than are. Is it harder to win in the SEC at baseball or football?
It's baseball, 100%.
So, you know, because baseball is the best conference in the SEC in baseball, and it's harder because you have a reduced number of scholarships. Is that kind of where you're going with it, Davey?
It's not so much the scholarships. It's just the SEC has just been so dominant in baseball. I understand you could probably make the argument for like why football's so great, but it's not just like if you take Alabama out of the football equation, it's not going to have as much of a conversation as you would when you look at the SEC teams that have been winning national championships in baseball. I mean, Vanderbilt, Florida, South Carolina, they've all got one in the last 10 years. In baseball, when you look at the SEC outside of, I mean, Auburn got one and Alabama got one.
Talking about football now? And, LSU.
Yeah, LSU. So, that, I mean, that's three, but you look at just the teams that make it to Omaha year in and year out for, we've got three this year.
I just think top to bottom it's tougher in baseball. I mean, is there a... I mean, I guess A&M this year was not very good. Georgia wasn't very good. But you look at Vanderbilt is incredible. South Carolina, they had a little bit of a down year this year, but they're normally very, very good. In the West, like, the Mississippi schools are amazing. LSU had a down year this year. They're still, they still made the Supers.
And if you beat somebody, I mean, you still have a chance to lose that series.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, it's not one and done. I mean, you can get lucky one game and then get your butt whooped the next two.
Right.
The only argument I've seen against this is where somebody says, well, in SEC football, you only have two teams that make it to the SEC championship. So you only have two great teams. But I think our expectations at Tennessee are not to be those two great teams right now.
Not right now.
You know, yeah. I mean, eventually, yes. But let's be realistic. It's not happening anytime soon. So the whole point of this is like, if Tony B can do it in baseball, why can't we do it in football, man? That's what I'm saying. We've let our administration just crater this thing, and by bad hire after bad hire, and just leaving them over there and just thinking that, you know, if you leave it to longevity, you know, you still have people that think Pruitt should have had 5 years. we knew that. It's almost like baseball. You kind of knew Tony B was going to be something special in that third year, even though everybody was saying, like, it's going to be impossible to win at Tennessee. And, you know, Tony, he's a master marketer of the program, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's a smart business guy. Thinking about it, how much time does he spend just on your network? You know, I've heard his voice for the last 4 years just coming on the drive.
Mm-hmm.
And he does radio interviews. He He wants PR. He's just got the whole package. It's just like Bruce all over again. And so, but maybe it's something here, and I'll end it on this. You know, on Optimism Tuesday, we try to stay positive. Do you guys believe in any of that? One big sport can kind of energize your program, and it can bleed into the other ones. You know, now that this baseball team we got a great basketball team recruiting on paper. Now is it really time for us to turn the tide? You know, maybe that's the hope we can hang our hats on, is that it permeates throughout the program. Hey, y'all take care. Have a great day.
Thanks, Zach. Really appreciate the phone call. That's an interesting point. I do think that this level of success is, I don't necessarily say contagious, but I think if it was a really cool moment on Saturday night leaving the game. I was walking into the parking garage and just so happened like to be walking in like with the basketball team. Like basically the entire team was there. And it was actually them in the parking garage with all the fans around that started the "It's great to be a Tennessee Vol" cheer. Like it was the basketball team screaming it at the top of their lungs and running around having a great time. And then obviously all the fans kind of joined in. But like I know for a fact it was Kumwa that started it. And then Josiah joined in and Plavzic joined in. And it was cool because it's like they were at the game or at the watch party one. They were watching their fellow students have success, win a great game. And they were celebrating with and for them. And I can't help but think that when you see, even if they're on, you know, play a different sport, but when you see fellow athletes at your institution have that level of success, like that has to make you want it for yourself at least a little bit more than you did before, you know, it actually happened. So yeah, Zach, like I totally buy into that. I absolutely do.
Since 2008, there's only been one time an SEC team has not been in the championship in the College World Series.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Since 2008, only one championship series did not feature an SEC team?
And that's like, I know now we do have the college football playoff to where there's like a little bit of a play-in, but, I mean, we're looking at a tournament that starts off with like 64 teams, and you get down to where I think it's harder. Tournament sports like that are always, in my opinion, harder to actually win it all.
Oh, yeah.
I know you get more opportunities, but that just means there's more opportunities for you to fail. And so back in 2008, Fresno State beat Georgia. 2009, LSU beat Texas. 2010, South Carolina beat UCLA. 2011, South Carolina beat Florida. 2012, Arizona beat South Carolina. 2013, UCLA beat Mississippi State. 2014, Vanderbilt beat Virginia. 2015, Virginia beat Vanderbilt. And then in 2016, you didn't have an SEC team, but you had Coastal Carolina winning it all over Arizona. And then in 2017, you had Florida beat LSU. 2018, you had Oregon State beat Arkansas, and in 2019, you had Vanderbilt beat Michigan.
I'd say this conference is pretty good. But to your point, maybe people would say, oh, well, they should have, you know, the conference should be winning more championships, but it's, you know, it's a three-game series, it's baseball. Like, it's much more, I don't want to say random, but in three games, like, anything can happen. So everything kind of changes. But to be there that often, just, yeah, that, and I mean, how many different teams did you just name?
Like seven.
Georgia, Florida, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Mississippi State.
LSU.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, have there been six teams from the SEC to play in a national championship game in the last 14 years? Six different teams?
You could do five. You could do Florida.
Florida, Georgia, Bama, LSU.
Auburn.
Okay. That's it, right? That's it? I mean, and that's... Don't get me wrong, like that's impressive too, but in baseball it's just, it's crazy. Because like you said, Dave, it starts with such a bigger field. And, you know, your seeding is obviously based on how you do in the season, and SEC regular season, that's a grind, brother. Like, I mean, the fact that we won the East was remarkable.
And you kind of ensure that the best team wins with the series.
College basketball where it's just like, all right, you got one opportunity. If you fail, you're done.
Right. All you need is one shot to fall late maybe and you win if you hang around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having to, the two out of three, I think. Well, and then not to mention like the first weekend having to go to the loser's bracket and then win your way back. Yeah.
So to correct my statement from earlier, we did not get it to two or three games against North Carolina. So Coach V's first postseason run, Liberty put us in the loser's bracket of the region right off the gate. And then we beat UNC Wilmington, beat Liberty again, and then lost to North Carolina 2-5.
Okay.
But that would have been the region championship, right?
Yeah, we would have had to beat North Carolina twice.
Yeah, but still, just the fact that, you know, going from loser's bracket to region championship in year two with this program, pretty impressive.
No, he's an impressive dude. I get the Bruce Pearl comparison as far as, like, success that quick. It feels, and maybe he's just better at it, but with Bruce, you could always tell, like, he was hyping it up so much. This, with Tony, it just feels so much more genuine and legit. Like, yes, he's a showman, but he does it in a way that doesn't come off as, I'm trying to be a showman. He just feels like one of the dudes who is very competitive, very driven, very good, obviously, at what he does. I don't know. I listen to all of his interviews when he comes on the drive. The guy's so well-rounded. Like, jam or not a jam, the way he can talk about, oh, yeah, that music video, and, oh, yeah, I remember when I went to that concert and this album and that move. It's just, I mean, did you guys catch the reference he made?
The old school reference?
Yeah, like, what? Bring your green hat. Like, are you kidding me?
We're going streaking.
I don't know. He's, like I said, he just seems to be diverse, well-rounded, but doesn't come off as a try-hard, I guess. And at times, some of those quote-unquote promoter-type coaches can come off a little heavy-handed where it's like, yeah, we get it. You're a marketer. You're a salesman. Sometimes it doesn't feel genuine. With Tony V, I don't know.
Yeah, when somebody's not about that life, you can tell a fraud from somebody who's legit.
Yeah.
And Coach V is as legit as it gets.
I don't disagree. We'll hit a quick break. Come back. Continue hour number two. This is 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Hour two rolls on, 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio. What's the turnout going to be for the Big Orange in Omaha? We thinking people gassing up the old vehicle this week and heading up?
I think we will be well represented. I just actually entered in a chance to win 2 free tickets last night. So,
for what games? The whole thing?
Any game.
The whole pass?
Yeah. Well, you get to go to, I think it said you could go to any 2 games you wanted to.
Is this the UT thing for students?
Yeah.
Okay, so what Adam's referring to is, I think Dr. Danny actually retweeted it. But
Dr. Dan?
It's an opportunity for a college student to win 2 tickets to every Tennessee game in the World Series. But you have to be in Omaha to pick up the tickets, and you get a guest. But that guest also has to be a student of the university.
Okay. Okay. Ticket prices right now as low as $38 for Sunday's game.
It's crazy that we're now in the College World Series and you can find tickets for under $40. But 3 days ago, trying to get into Lindsey Nelson Stadium was...
Yeah, here's my kidney. Can I have a ticket, please?
I'm homeless now, but...
I know Charlie. He paid a hefty price for his 2 tickets over the weekend. $38. That is wild. I mean, this is kind of what we do, right? I mean, Hoover for the championship game was half orange and then half everyone else.
Yeah, it was half orange, half 25% who were playing, and the other 25% was just random
players. Holdovers, right? Yeah. They just wanted to watch the championship game.
Wanted to watch some good baseball.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's going to be a lot of orange there. I mean, Virginia. Texas, obviously. It's gonna be a pretty orange based crowd, but I think Pantone 151 will be well represented. What do you think, Dave? Tennessee fans gonna head out to this?
Yeah, no, they will. I'm actually just trying to think about it because obviously Virginia's our first game, but whenever I went to Louisville in 2019 to watch Tennessee play Purdue, Virginia had the game after us.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't much Oregon green there.
Naturally.
But Virginia fans, they showed up. I think they'd probably wear more navy than anything.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the orange is their secondary color.
Well, I know, but just to, you know, they're like, I would say Tennessee will not have a game where they have, unless we maybe play Texas. But then
yeah, they're the one that I'm wondering, like, could Texas fans?
I think there's more Tennessee fans at every game that will be played outside of if Tennessee has to play Texas.
I mean, Texas just kind of geographically makes more sense as well.
It's actually still a pretty far drive for them.
Was it probably still 10 hours, 8, 9? I don't
know. It's got to be. It's not a couple hours. I know that. But no, I think Tennessee will. I mean, we never disappoint when it comes to traveling. I mean, hell, I remember the when we played Michigan in the Sweet 16 in Indy with Kentucky-Louisville right after us. I mean, obviously it was Kentucky-Louisville. It was a big game. But Tennessee fans, well represented in that one.
Austin to Omaha is 12 hours.
Are you serious? It's 12?
So
it's like the exact, yeah. I mean, it's like an hour less than Tennessee?
Yeah, but it's not so much of just fans coming from Austin. You just have to look at
how far
the brand carries and represented across the country and people that would show up.
I saw round trip tickets from Nashville only like $250.
It's not bad.
And that's if you stay there, you know, like 5 days or something.
Yeah, I feel like Omaha, Tennessee, or Omaha, Knoxville, and Austin kind of make like a perfect triangle in a way.
An equilateral triangle? Close to it? Or just a triangle?
Just,
I mean, any 3 points would make a triangle. Unless they're in a perfectly straight line.
I mean,
geometry.
All angles would be acute.
Gotcha. Geometry with Dave Hudson, ladies and gentlemen.
There's actually a route you can take that would be 13 hours from Austin to Omaha, and it's 13 hours from Tennessee to Omaha, or from Knoxville to Omaha.
If you go Will Stevens route with no interstate, it's like almost 19 hours.
I would recommend Tennessee fans that if they're driving from Knoxville, this is just based off personal experience, not going to Omaha, but going to Kansas City, which you have to go through Kansas City to then get to Omaha. I would go up through Clarksville, then through Paducah, Kentucky, get into, I believe it's Mount Vernon, Illinois, and then cut across through St. Louis. And once you hit Kansas City, just head on up north from there.
That's the way I've always gone when I drive to Colorado. Not bad. Get to see some stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend going straight up through Lexington and then cutting across.
Not a good route. Don't like that one.
It's just longer.
We don't want that. Well, Tony V has been he's been banging the table. He wants fans in Omaha. Did you guys see any of those quotes? He said, just drive until you need gas, gas up, and then drive some more. I mean, just incredible what he's done here. Going back to some of the things Zach said, you do kind of know, I guess, when you got something special. And he did it so fast and so organically. What do we think is the most difficult sport to make a turnaround that quick? I mean, I know baseball's a little bit weird because there's such scholarship restrictions. Obviously, in football, you've got the full 85. But is it harder to turn around a baseball program or a football? I mean,
we know basketball's not in the conversation.
No,
since
I mean,
so few.
Yeah,
people.
three good players, and all of a sudden you're, you know, like Michigan with the Fab Five or whatever. Like, you know, you get one good recruiting class, you can be in the national championship.
Football's got to be the hardest.
I would say so, just with the amount of eyes on it. Because when you look at it from a revenue standpoint, with baseball,
I don't disagree. I would just offer the counter of every kid gets a scholarship in football. Like, you can, everyone gets a full ride. In baseball, you have to split, what is it? Like 11 and a half scholarships among
35.
Like, yeah, it's, I mean, the roster's huge. Like, that makes it tough. Not to mention in the SEC especially.
Well, here's the thing. So from a recruiting standpoint, I would argue that baseball is more difficult. And I say that because you also have to look at talking kids out of going pro.
Absolutely.
Football, obviously, you
can't
have to
do it.
Spend 3 years in college or just 3 years removed from high school.
That's a great point. Not only in baseball are you recruiting against other SEC teams
but,
or national programs, you're also recruiting against kids who get drafted going to the majors.
But when you look at the game itself, it's harder to win in football, because with baseball, it simply comes down, if you just want to look at it from an analytic standpoint, the probability of getting on base, having certain, I don't want to necessarily get into the style of play, because certain styles in baseball versus football can be more advantageous based off the personnel that you currently have. Mm-hmm. But I will say that with baseball, kind of looking at the analytics, you have fewer opportunities when you're looking at, with, we'll say, like plays, than mm-hmm. you would for football when you kind of stack those two up against each other. So I would argue that football is more difficult to turn a program around than it is for baseball, but the recruiting standpoint's more difficult in baseball.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of moving parts on any given baseball play, but in football, every play you have to have 11 guys doing exactly what they're supposed to do or the play fails, offensively or defensively. You know, a grounder to shortstop, you got three guys in the outfield just kind of watching, making sure nothing goes crazy. One guy misses a block, your quarterback gets decapitated, and the ball's rolling free, the other team scoops it up and scores a touchdown. All of the other 10 could be doing the right thing. One guy makes a mistake, and the play is completely ruined, and the game could be over. I'm not saying errors don't happen in baseball. LSU made quite a few on Sunday. But, no, I don't disagree with that. But, I mean, it's still not – I mean, this was not an easy task. And not to mention especially what Tony did when he got here. You know, if you hired the right coach at Tennessee in football, it's like, look, I got a 100,000-seat stadium. I got state-of-the-art facilities. Everything you need from a player perspective, like, look at this weight room. Look at this training facility. Like, everything you need. Tony's recruiting with the – I mean, were we the worst program in the SEC when he got here? Like, over
if
the –
not next to last, yeah.
Like, at the bottom from a winning standpoint.
Yeah.
Then you look at the stadium. We are last or second to last, right? Like, as far as capacity and just overall awe factor of the stadium, mm-hmm. facilities for baseball alone, bottom, next to last. So to do what he's done at any program, you know, let's say he took over for LSU tomorrow, he would have an easier task bringing it to Tennessee's level now than he did to get Tennessee where they're at now. That's what's amazing to me. You know, that this would be like hiring a coach at Vanderbilt football, and all of a sudden he's got you playing in the college football playoff in year three. It's remarkable. I can't really compare it to anything else. I mean, what Bruce did was incredible, yeah, but to Davey's point, like, you get a couple of good players or you coach up a guy or two, and all of a sudden your team looks very, very different. I mean, he took this thing from nothing, and we're going to go play for a World Series. That's unbelievable to me. And I realize Danny White didn't hire Tony Vitello, and apparently, you know, has issues with Jimmy Sexton, his agent. But I really hope that it's not lost on Danny White. I hope that somebody over there can educate him as to what Tony Vitello exactly has done since he got here, because this is not a guy you want to let walk without fighting tooth and nail to make sure that you keep him, to give him the facilities he needs, to give him you know, the raises for his staff, and obviously, you know, his own compensation. But he's got something really special brewing, and I think over the weekend, very lucky, obviously, to, you know, host a regional and then host a super, but especially this past weekend, I mean, it was like, what, 4,400 game one, 4,427 game two, and how many thousands of people on Pathead Summit Street right there to watch the game? A lot of which couldn't even really see it that well,
yeah,
because of the, you know, just the narrow nature of the road and where you could sit.
That's one thing that kind of did persuade me not to go watch it, was just because
you couldn't get close enough to the screen. I'm just saying, like, but thousands. And how many of those thousands just couldn't really even see the screen, definitely couldn't see into the stadium, but were just like, I'm going to be there to support this team. Never seen anything like that. Tennessee's never done that before. We talked about that last week. Like, Tennessee doesn't do things like that. They don't do the big, oh, well, Tennessee's in the NCAA tournament, we're going to open up Thompson Bowling, come watch.
Did you see David Ubbin's tweet about the atmosphere?
No, what'd he say?
He said that it was rowdier than any football atmosphere he had ever seen, just on a lot smaller scale.
That's awesome. That's what I said yesterday. It felt like a 3:30 CBS. Tennessee's good, and we're playing, you know, a top 10 team. Right. That's what it felt like. Yes, much smaller scale, confined to a smaller area. Obviously not 100,000 people plus walking around, but it was awesome. It was great. And he did it in 4 years. From literal dumpster to College World Series and that atmosphere while recruiting to the maybe overall the worst facilities in the conference. Miraculous job. Pay that man his money. What a quick break. Come back. Continue on. Hour number two is 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Hour two continues, 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio. Houston Crest, Davey Hudson, Adam Hickman rolling along with you. I just got a DM from Mitchell. Said they did ticketing a little different this year in Omaha. Apparently before this year it was $10 GA, first come, first serve for the outfield. And this year they sold assigned seats, $28 per on Ticketmaster. I mean, obviously the price went up a little bit, but $28, are you kidding me? It's a steal. It's a steal. I mean, I paid 90. I mean, it's 45 a ticket for the two games, but it would have been 30 a ticket for the three over the weekend if we had gone to three. But we did.
What's the name of the stadium they're playing it in?
Isn't it TD Ameritrade Park?
So what's that park used for? Is there a double A?
Like a minor league team? I don't know.
It's
a good question. Surely, right?
It's so weird, though. Like, I mean, I was wondering.
I mean, honestly. As many people travel to Omaha for this, you know, series each year.
Could have been built just,
for
this
it.
Year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was wondering the same thing about, like, who plays at the Hoover Stadium we played at for the SEC tournament?
I don't know.
Oh, no, just it's kind of weird. You just have all these nice baseball stadiums just out there in the middle of nowhere.
Nate said the number yesterday. What's the attendance at TD Ameritrade? Did you say 24?
I don't think it's that big, is it?
I thought the number he gave was huge. Yeah, it is 24,000. It's a big park.
Hmm.
Talked about it a little bit yesterday. What's like the perfect number for Lindsey Nelson?
7.5 to 8.
I'd say just go ahead and make it double digit.
No, 10. Like, here's the thing. I'm gonna grab the phone. I'll be right back.
Okay, here's the thing. Do your thing. I don't know, man. Like, I get it. You don't want to build something that sits half empty for most of the year, but when you do host a super regional, you want to be able to pack that thing with as many fans as possible. When you host a regional.
Yeah, I agree.
When you host supers. A big series. Like,
well, that's the thing with eight. So, what's the biggest in the league? Is it like 11 or 12?
Mississippi State.
What is it? It's just like 14, isn't it?
Yeah, they actually set, I'm pretty sure I saw that they set a super regional record for attendance over a 3-game span.
What's the name of that? They call it the Dude?
Something Bomb.
I thought that was the... Duty Noble, yeah. Is Mississippi State.
Okay.
Capacity... record capacity for them is 15,586.
See, well, I don't...
Definitely not 50. We don't need 50.
No,
not yet.
I like the 8 number because at that point you could still have it to where it's a somewhat difficult ticket to get into. Like, there's still that idea around it. To like, okay, here's a good example. People are going to get on me for this, but I'm a Duke fan. All right, I understand Cameron doesn't hold that many people overall, but it's still one of the best venues in all of college basketball to go and watch a game. And it,
what is the attendance at Cameron?
I think it's like 9.
Okay.
But when you have it that way, it gets so raucous, and I understand basketball is a little different than baseball, but at least with baseball, like earlier on in the year, you're not going to have to worry about like it just looking so empty, because you do have to look at Tennessee also being really good at basketball. like it's, I think it's going to be hard to draw some of that basketball crowd away to that baseball stadium early on, because I mean, like, there's still a lot you're playing for in basketball there. You still got a ways until, and even with like the midweek games with some of the smaller schools, it's just not going to.
Well, I don't imagine that's true. I mean, obviously Mississippi State's not getting 15,000 per, but I just I don't know.
What do you think they got over a 3-game span?
I just saw it, actually.
Shout out to Brad.
That's really impressive.
That's very impressive.
That's really impressive, man. Yeah, they broke an NCAA record over the weekend. 3 games, 3 days, 40,000, what is it, 40,140.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of that game last night?
I briefly kept an eye on it.
Like,
it was good crowd.
The atmosphere was unreal.
It was good, especially when they got hot. It was one of the early innings. They just started pelting.
That is great to have it to where they're able to get that many fans in there. But I kind of like it too, where I mean, if you're so good, that block party could still be a thing later on. And when you're kind of comparing it to, and I don't want to say this to have like a bad mentality, but what if you were to slump back down again and you just constantly struggle to sell? Because, like, that was the thing whenever I was working in, like, 2016 was just, like, that stadium was, like, never even more than halfway full, and it's at the same attendance it is now. Like, they still need to upgrade. But, I mean, what, 8s? That's double what you got now.
I would take 7,000.
Not quite double. Oh, no, I mean, don't get me wrong. Any addition is going to be great. I just wonder what's a number that makes sense, but also, you know, if we do host a Super next year or a regional – in 2 years, I mean, and that's actually one of the things that Tony V said. I don't know if you guys caught this. He told the athletic department, like, hey, once we sell out, continue to note people that call in and want tickets so that we know exactly how many people would, or not exactly, but potentially how many we could have sold. That'll help us get a good number for, you know, when we look at renovating and adding on or building a new one. I don't know what they're going to do yet.
And just like having the most people possible, like it might sound good in theory, but I kind of like some of those stadiums that aren't as big, but you can still get really loud and you can make it to where that environment is,
if you design
still
it the right way,
a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like you could build it and let's say, or renovate it, whatever. And let's say it gets to, let's say it is 8 to 9, maybe 10. I don't know. If you build it the right way, you can leave wiggle room for, it's like, hey, we're at 10, but this team's been really good for the last 5 years. Like, we could actually add more, you know, maybe you stack another deck somewhere. I mean, if you do it the right way.
Brought in bleachers this time.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you can do that. If you leave the right amount of space where you know, instead of maybe standing room only over here, you turn that into a bleacher area, so on and so forth. We'll hit a quick break, come back, get straight to the phone lines. 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number two, straight to the phone lines. We got Roberto up first. What do you say, Berto?
Well, I hope you can hear me, guys.
Loud and clear. Loud and
clear.
So,
still recovering from Saturday, Sunday with the voice, so that's kind of fun. I gave my y'all. What do you think about that, guys?
Deal. Done deal.
Lot of orange in Omaha. Pantone 151. That's all I got to say.
Bring it. I'd love to, like, the announcers are like, I cannot believe how much Tennessee Orange is in this stadium. Wow, this is amazing. What a turnout.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, they got, what, Corn Huskers out there, and we got Corn Drinkers here. I mean, it makes sense, right?
That's a good point.
Share some tips.
Yeah, trade some recipes, so to speak.
Indeed. It's just so fun as a fan to just dog other fan bases. By the way, I don't know if you've seen this lady who's claiming that they had all this stuff happen. Guys, she sat over my left shoulder for 2 days. That did not happen. I mean, I saw her, and then I looked her up, and I was like, it's her. It's the lady. She claims she's not that lady. She's 100% that lady, and she's 100% lying. Just like when she lied to the security officers about what people around us were saying, and they came down, and all the LSU fans around us said, sir, she's lying. They're not saying any of that. You know what the meanest thing I said to Trey Morgan was the other day? You sitting down, guys? hey, Trey, your mother's disappointed in your grade point average this semester.
You meanie. You're nasty. Nasty, nasty, thing. Nasty.
You need to learn. Are you ready for this? You guys, congratulations, but you need to learn sportsmanship. Get the hell out of here. Leave.
Coming from LSU fans, that's so rich.
I mean, yeah, corn dog eaters. I mean, come on. Look, I'm a tertiary LSU fan because I am a Saints fan. So I respect the fact that they get on other fan bases. But if you can't, as you said yesterday, Houston, if you can dish it out, you have to be able to take it. Okay? And Tennessee fans across all sports have taken it for over two decades.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we're just dishing it out a little bit. And we weren't even, I mean, Houston, you were right yesterday. I'm sure somebody somewhere said something very heinous. But that lady who's claiming all those things, it was not said in our section. Now, it may have come out of the student section, but she was claiming it was, air quotes, all around her. That's a lie, because I was sitting 11 feet away from her.
They're not used to it, Roberto. Like, they're not used to it. They're used to being the best team. They're used to going into other people's stadiums, taking their lunch money, and saying, you know, thanks for the trip. Like, they don't know how to handle it. And, you know, they don't know how to handle not only losing a series in two games, but getting absolutely thumped. They're just not used to it. So what do? They whine, they complain, they make things up. Well, it's what Maneri did in the first series. Oh, we would have won this series. We wouldn't have got swept, but their fans were talking to us and got in our head and, you know, just nasty. It's like, no. Like, no. We pick on every first baseman. It doesn't matter who they
are.
That's
the thing. It's college baseball. That's what you do, and as if LSU is holier than thou and they don't do that is total bullcrap. I've heard it.
They were doing it
to our guys.
Sure,
They were doing it to our guys. Moving forward, guys. Hey, you know where we are this week? Omaha. You know where they are?
Home.
Corn dog land.
Home.
I mean, so and. It just feels so good. Guys, I love our matchup. I actually think Virginia's a really good matchup for us up and down the board. You know who I was probably the most afraid of going into Omaha?
DBU?
No. Actually, it was Notre Dame for me. Because they can absolutely rake up and down. They're like us, right?
Yeah.
There's only one team now that makes me a little jittery, and it's not Vanderbilt. It's actually Texas, because I don't know what we're going to get from them.
Yeah,
I think, guys, Tennessee has a legitimate shot to win a national title. I don't think that's sinking into our fan base yet, and maybe that's a good thing, but they have a legitimate shot to win a national title, and it's not because they're the second highest-ranked seed left in the tournament. It's because they rake up and down the lineup. They have, as we said yesterday, and Callum corrected me, we have two guys that hit three or less points below 250, and then everybody between 250 and then the two top guys.
Yep.
It's incredible. If you can have nine guys that hit between 250 or, excuse me, Callum, 247 and say 330, you're going to win a lot of baseball games. And the one thing that I think people are underselling, and they keep talking about Omaha and the extended fences. By the way, I believe TD Ameritrade's 23,400 if you guys were asking.
I just looked it up on, I think it was Wikipedia or whatever. It said 24,000. I don't. The record attendance was bigger than that, but
okay. But it's the identical dimensions to Rosenblatt. People don't actually internally. The field itself and the fences is identical. But Tennessee can actually play small ball and beat you, so long as our pitching holds out. And right now, our pitching's really good, and that's where I wanted to come in with this. I mean, Will Heflin's going to be coming off how many days rest now? I mean, he'll be pitching at some point.
Yeah.
But Cameron Sewell maybe right now had the second best stuff on the team. I'm not talking about being the second best pitcher, but right now he's probably got the second best stuff on the team. He seems almost unhittable. I know he gave up a few – he got nicked up a little bit in the ninth the other day, but, like, he almost seems unhittable right now. And actually, I don't know if you guys know this, for a sinker baller, which he is, it's good to be pitching on very little to moderate rest, okay? Because it slows down your arm, it makes you a little more tired, and it actually makes that sinker ball move more. So he's going to be very valuable in those middle innings. I think you're going to see Cameron Sewell get a ton, Camden Sewell get a ton of innings this week because I think we're going to need that mental relief when we get into game two, three, and four. And what's cool is if you get into game two, three, and four, guess where we are, gentlemen?
The Holy Land.
In the National Championship Series.
That's right.
I do believe it's going to be Tennessee and Vanderbilt. How do you feel about that, Houston?
I mean, I'll take it. It's a tough matchup. I mean, especially if, you know, two out of three and they got those two pitchers going day one and day two. But, I mean,
the question is, do they get to bring their umpires?
I don't think so.
I've never seen anything like that in my life. I didn't know about it until I was told to go back and watch it. They were getting pitches 4 to 6 inches outside the plate. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, they were getting the cops treatment in Nashville. I was watching a lot of that. I mean, ECU players and their manager was going bananas several times over those two games on the strike zone. And I get it. Like they're like, oh, this Rocker guy, he's, you know, top three pick. Oh, this is Leiter. He's top three pick. So you want to give him, I guess, the benefit of the doubt. But if anything, I would go the opposite way. It's like, if they're so good, make them throw strikes.
Yeah. And that's where I'm at. I mean, like, if you're going to give those dudes 4 to 6 inches outside the plate, why the hell even show up?
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. I mean, because those guys are dominant enough without getting calls.
Right.
They're fantastic. I tip my cap. They're two of the best college pitchers I've ever seen. But if you're going to do that, I mean, just stay home. But here's the thing. Unlike what happened over in Nashville with Vanderbilt this week in ECU, Tony Vitello is not going to get walked on. I mean, he's going to argue balls and strikes from pitch number two. I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about the guy. He has no quit, and this team has no quit. And that's why I feel like, I mean, we're going to be talking in a week, gentlemen, and Tennessee's going to be heading for the championship series. I mean, in a week we'd be in the midst of it, right? Or we'd start Wednesday. I can't remember when it starts, but, I mean, we're going to be in the midst of it because Tennessee's
going to be
there.
Championship's going to be the following Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, it's the following Monday. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? We'll be talking next Tuesday, Wednesday about how we're definitely on the arc for that. And that feels really, really good, gentlemen. Guys, I hope you have a really good day. Thanks for all the time you gave me. Take care.
Appreciate it, Roberto. Thanks for the phone call. Go now to Jay to wrap up hour number two. Jay, long time no talk, man. How's it going?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good.
Y'all was talking about stadium renovations. Did you see the Notre Dame Mississippi State series? They were panning out. That stadium looked amazing, but
it is. It's awesome.
It's crazy, but it looked like they had apartments in the stadium, in the outfield.
Yeah, it's like a warehouse, but it's apartments. A buddy of mine was texting me. He said people rent it out for the day just so they can sit on the balconies and watch the game.
Man, that is crazy. Those people love baseball. I would love to see something unique like that at Lindsey Nelson. I'm not talking like on the level of Mississippi State. I think that'd be, you know, obviously too big of a jump, but I would love to see something like that. But speaking of renovations, I was wanting to get y'all's thoughts, man. What do y'all think about the Neyland renovations? This is going to drop us below our 100,000 capacity. I don't know if we're going to continue to drop as more renovations happen. But what do y'all think about that? Big deal? No big deal? Could you be in a situation if you drop your capacity too much and we ever get good at football again where you're going to be having a much greater demand for tickets than you can actually supply due to your lower capacity? I just love to hear y'all's thoughts about that.
Yeah, we'll do that. Jay, do have to hit a quick break, but we can chat about that to start hour three, because I want to give Davey his depot at 9 o'clock, but that's a really good question. We looked at the renovations last week. I don't hate them. I like them a lot better than John Curry's. This one won't eat into capacity nearly as much. And that's one of the things, too. I haven't gotten to the number yet as to what it's going to drop to, but obviously based on what they're wanting to do with the video board, the deck, and then chairing, was it the west sideline? They're chairing up like 20 rows or something like that. That will inevitably eat up seats. Until I see the final number, I don't want to give too much of an opinion, but I guess we can kind of set our benchmarks or whatever as to what's, you know, too much and too little.
Brent Hubbs put out a number. It's going to be around 97,000 with these first phases of renovations.
Okay. Well, we'll do that, Jay. We'll do that to kick off the next hour after Davey's Depot, which will be next. Davey, are you ready for the Depot?
Sure.
All right, that's Davey Hudson, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate his contributions each and every one. Hour three next.